أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وتعالى, who is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his final messenger. Allah says what could mean in the Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah. Now we say this word, fear Allah. But the word taqwa, which is the original word here, does not necessarily mean fear. It means remember. It means respect. It means do something now to protect yourself from something happening later. So we translate it colloquially to try to bring all those different meanings. Give Allah His right, as it is His right to be feared, respected, revered, and remembered. And don't you dare die. Don't you find yourself dead, except that you died as a Muslim. And I try to remind us that this is a threat. So you can now think, as soon as you're threatened, who is the one that's threatening you? And the ability of the one to carry out his threat. Don't you dare die, except that you die as Muslims. Allah says what could mean. O mankind, fear your Lord. Again, have taqwa for your Lord. The one who created you from one soul. So it's as if he's explaining who your Lord is. Because we know from Rububiyyah, the Lord, he is Khaliq. So he says, ittaqu rabbakum, fear your Lord, the one who created you from one soul, Adam. And from that soul, Adam, he created its mate, Eve. And raised up and spread from just those two individuals, many men and women. And that right there, look at that. If we just look around, we all come from Adam. And this is what this is reminding us. So we need to drop that nationalistic thought that we always have, that tribal understanding, that where we think one complexion, dialect, area of land is better than the other. And fear Allah. Again, have taqwa for Allah. Again, who is Allah? The one whom you ask things for. So again, it's giving you the meaning. Allah is the one whom you ask things for. And don't cut ties with the wombs that bore you. So even though you're not to be nationalistic, you're supposed to remember the wombs that bore you. Respect those people that you come from and honor them, but not pride. So there's no contradiction in the ayah. It's quantifying how you should fear Allah and how you should respect your own nasab and legacy. Indeed, Allah above you all is laying in watch. And when we say this, this is raqiban, is like an army that's in an ambush position, ready to attack another group, and that group can't see them. And they're right there, ever ready to attack. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiban. Allah above you all, over us all, is laying in watch, able to attack and take us from whence we don't see. Allah also says, O you who believe, fear Allah. Again, have taqwa for Allah. So many times, over and over again. Wa qulu qawlan sadidan. And in light of your taqwa, in light of the understanding that you will have to turn back to Allah, that you are returning to Allah, that you are accountable to Allah, then open your mouth and make sure what you say goes straight to the point, but in a way that shows you're being conscious of your Creator and the respect that He is due, and from the orders He has given you how to display whatever you have to display. Whoever does this, Allah will rectify his deeds. He will make right what he did wrong and forgive him his sins. And whoever is already obeying Allah and already obeying his messenger has already achieved the highest aspirations anyone could hope to achieve and reach. As for what follows, then we have to know, we really do, I'm talking to us, we have to know that the best speech, and best in every way, is the speech of Allah, that Quran. And if we really believe that, why does a person read the daily newspaper? He reads the daily newspaper because he thinks there's some information in there that's going to benefit him in his day. It's going to help him understand al-waqi', what's going on, the occurrences of the day and the times. Why does somebody get those self-help books? Because he thinks in that book there's going to be some line, some information, way of doing something that's going to help economize and make it more effective for him in his dunya. The best speech is the speech of Allah. So if we take that mindset, best in every way, you want to economize your time? You want to learn ways of doing something? The prophets of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'een, they were the best and the most effective in everything they did. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was after that the best example for all mankind. So if we really believed that the best speech is the speech of Allah, we will be constantly reading and rereading and revising and reviewing the Quran so we can extract and re-understand and remember and more remember and mention what's going on in the Quran so it can affect our day-to-day life. So that's what the meaning is. So let's not stop saying it and start doing it. When I came this morning, too many people sleeping after Fajr. And we say we Salafi. The Salaf didn't sleep after Fajr. They considered it someone to accuse them of sleeping after Fajr as disrespecting them. One time, one of the Sahaba sat outside the door of another one waiting for the sun to come up to ask him a question. And so the Sheikh said to him, "Why didn't you, you know, come in a little earlier? Did you think we were sleeping? Are you accusing the family of so-and-so of sleeping after Fajr?" And he said, "No, I would never accuse you of that. But I just wanted to give you some time with your family." You know? So if we say, I mean, it's the exception, not the rule. Sometimes things happen, you're traveling and stuff like that. You might have to go back to sleep because of what's going on. You know, that's the exception, not the rule. Not everybody in here was up praying all night, reading Quran and that type of thing, so that they got tired and they went to take a small little qaylula after that. We shouldn't do that. What we're doing, we're misplacing. When we say now, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad. The best guidance in every way. You want to know how to do something, how to be effective, how to economize? Do it the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And everything, the most evil of things, are those things we bring into the equation, like sleeping after Fajr. Because if you stay up, you'll be tired around Dhuhr or before Dhuhr, between Dhuhr and Asr, and you'll take a qaylula. You'll take a nap, which is the sunnah. So every time you leave the sunnah, you make a bid'ah, an innovation, even in something like sleeping after Fajr. But we want to look at somebody else. We're constantly looking at somebody else and accusing somebody else of not being on the sunnah properly, but we're not looking at ourselves and seeing where we can follow the sunnah better. Okay? Every newly invented thing, anything that opposes or that the Prophet ﷺ didn't come in with regards to this religion that we put into the game, is something that will lead us to the hellfire. And Allah knows best how. We may not be able to comprehend how something simple would change us and take us to the hellfire. But we see the people of the past, they considered something big, well, we consider it just splitting hairs. No big deal. But they considered it something big, something that would destroy a man's religion. So if we say we're following the Salaf, then leave your opinion alone and follow the opinion and the idea and the structured life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He says, there is for you. Allah says, there is for you with regards to the messenger of Allah, uswatin, an example, hasana. And this word hasana, it's like we said in English, you need a whole bunch of words to describe one word. Hasana means beautiful, good, you know, it means excellent, it means the best, or and it means more than that. So we have to really try to understand this, the best, the most beautiful, the most excellent example you have in the Messenger of Allah. But for who? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. For the one, it's only for the one who desires, has raja, he has the hope, he has hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, and he has hope to be raised up on the last day, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and he remembers Allah much. May Allah make us amongst them. This ayah is the focus of what we're talking about today. Bid'ah and following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and how he gave da'wah to his family. Everybody knows the story. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he got on a hill and he called everybody, called his people, his clan to come, and they all came and he started to say, do you trust me? If I was to tell you there was an army behind me, would you believe me? If they were to say that there's some practical danger there, would you trust that I was telling you the truth? And they said, yes, of course, you are al-Amin. You are trustworthy. We don't know you to do any tomfoolery. We don't know you to be a liar or a jerk. Matter of fact, he was the most trustworthy of them. So then after that, what did he do? He told them that he was the messenger of Allah, giving to nadhirun wa bashirun, to warn them and to give them glad tidings. And they rejected it. But the focus here is, what did he do? He called his family together and he brought attention to his standing in his family. If we, may Allah guide us, ameen, want to be like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have to stop focusing on our friends. We have to stop focusing on our colleagues. We have to stop focusing on our associates. There is what we call in Islam fardu ayn and fardu kifaya. Does anybody know what fardu ayn is? Ya ustad, fardu ayn ish. Naam? You should be, have to be made. Naam? You have to do it. What about fard kifaya? Yes, sir. No ums. Next person. It's an obligation on the whole group. So, for example, can I say, you know what, I'm busy today, could you pray Salatul Asr for me? Just, I'm traveling, so it's only 2 rakah. Knock it out so that I could go do something else. Can I do that? Why not? Because it's Fardu Ayn. I have to do it. But let's say, may Allah protect us, someone dies, and we have to establish the Salatul Janazah, and I'm on another side, I'm at the hotel, okay? Do I have to be here? Now, if nobody else is going to be here, do I have to be here? Yes. Why? Because it's an obligation on every last one of us. However, if a few of us take care of that obligation, the rest of us don't have to take care of it, right? All right. Now, watch. One of the first lessons we learn as a talib al-ilm are the tricks of the shaitan. Write it down. Write it down. One of the tricks of the shaitan on the talib al-ilm is he busies him with the fardu kifaya, so he leaves off the fardu ayn. This is one of his major tricks that he gets people trapped off in. Busying themselves doing fardu kifaya, and so they leave off the fardu ayn. What's fardu ayn in da'wa. What?
Thank you.
Teaching your family. Why? What's the proof? Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu. Save qu anfusakum. Save yourself. He didn't say save him. Ya Abu Tawas, save him. No. I'm to leave Muhammad. I have to focus on me. And then afterwards, who did he tell me to focus on? Wa ahlikum. And your family. That is fardu ain. You have no business opening up your mouth to anybody. You want to give da'wah? Give da'wah with your actions. And if they want to ask you something, then answer them. If they want to get busy talking and debating and stuff like that, direct them to someone who is authorized to talk to them. The imam. Come to the masjid. They have people that are authorized. Well, look, if you want to learn more about Islam, this. Why? Because now that's a shaitan. Shaitan is using that to busy you off from doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is thinking on how you're going to give da'wah to your family. And how many of us said it with Salafi here? Said it with following the Sunnah? Raise your hand. How many people said it? Raise your right hand. Okay, so everybody here pretty much says they're following the Sunnah. How many people have done what the Messenger of Allah did when he got da'wah? When he was called to Islam and made a prophet, and he went up on that hill and called his family. How many people have gone? Don't raise your hand now, but just think about it to yourself. If you want to follow the Sunnah in giving da'wah, following the life of the prophet, this is what I suggest. I suggest that you save your money and cater or make some food, big food, and invite your family from far and wide, all of them, and tell them that you're having a meal and you cater, you pay for it, whether it's a brunch, a lunch, or an early dinner, and you bring them all together, no matter how young, according to your means, even if you have to borrow money from the masjid to do it. Call them together, serve them, have some of the brothers come to be the servants there, and you can be the servants when they do their families. And when after you have them all eating, ask them about your situation with them. Ya Ikhwan, tell your brothers, these are your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, even if they're on the Sunnah, invite them all. Say, guys, do you know me to be a liar? Do you know to be do tomfoolery? And if they know you to be tomfoolery, then you need to change that. You need to start somewhere and invite them to the food, sit them down, and in a mature way, according to your circumstance and your situation and your standing with your family, have a real heart-to-heart talk about what is affecting your life, your Islam. If you've been a dummy, if you've been a fool, then you need to apologize. That's where you need to start. Bring them all together and do what we learned from the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What did the Fir'aun say? Fir'aun said to him, you know, when he come here talking about you a prophet, you know, didn't we raise you, walidan? And didn't you live with us, sineenan? وَفَعَلْتَ فِعْلَكَ تَلَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And you did that thing, you know you did that, and you a kafir. You ungrateful. Because he was an aristocrat. He was raised in the orphan in the Pharaoh's house. Got all these luxuries, then you went and go kill that man? You ungrateful. What did Musa say? Nah, that wasn't me, Willie. You know, what happened was this one. No, he didn't pop a plea. He said, فَأَلْتُهَا إِذَنْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِينَ. I did that. Own up to it. Dead it right there. Yeah, I did that back in the days when I was ضَالِينَ. And then my Lord guided me and made me مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. So we changed it to our situation. And so Allah has guided us and made us one of the people that are following the Sunnah now. And I want to share with y'all. Yeah, I was the foolish one. Yeah, I did this and that. And I'm ashamed of that now. Don't run away from it, but start there. And have that heart to heart, because that's real. It's real easy for you to go talk to that unsuspecting brother that don't know how stupid you were acting last year. It's real easy for you to be so, you know, sanctimonious about what somebody else is doing that don't know your personal life, don't know know your personal life history and the changes that you've gone through. They don't know that one last year you was over here with this group, the next year you was over here, and now you're over here. They don't trust you because they know you're flaky. One year you Hizb ut-Tahrir, next year you Sufi, now you Salafi. Come on, Akh, we don't believe you. So now when you talk to your family, they know you intimately. You can't twist your mouth off and pretend. You gotta talk real talk. And this is the sunnah of giving dawah. You start at yourself. Ibda binafsik. Start with yourself. Thumma man ta'ul. Then those who you are responsible for, your family. And after you do that, if you start off in that way, maybe they say, look man, you know, you're a joker. You brought us together like this. I don't think they're going to say that. Some of them might say, oh, this is pretty nice. You know, okay, but I'm not going to do it. But you got a start. And then you follow that up with actually visiting them. Sometimes you don't got to spend a long time. We got the phones now. You can give a quick call. You know, England is smaller than the United States. So you can, it might be real easier to go visit here and there. Drop in. That's sadaqah from your time, just to see them, even if they're non-Muslim. And you don't have to be so official. What happens a lot of time, brothers are too official. Assalamu alaikum. Salafi inshallah. Hey, just be the nephew, the son, the cousin, the uncle, the brother. Just be that individual. It doesn't have to be all this other. Brothers should not click their fingers in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ, nahana. Nahana Rasulullah ﷺ, min ishbaq, you know, tashbik al-asabi'. He said the shaitan sits on those fingers when you do it in the masjid. So even though we don't see that, everything the Prophet ﷺ said, we believe. So this is good, this is good, this is good, but this is bad, okay? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So anyway, this is what my da'wah to you guys is today. Make it real simple. Focus on your families. On simple day-to-day things that you can do. You have a little brother. You got a big brother. Go visit them. You don't got to do nothing. You got nice parks here. You know, you can go visit the Queen's birds and everything like that. And, you know, have a good time. Regular, simple stuff. You know, every time you meet them, you got to give them a pamphlet on why you're Salafi. You know what I'm saying? Why are you following the sunnah? You don't got to do that. You know, that's not working, is it? And from the sign of insanity is that a person keeps doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different response. Like we say, the man, he takes a hammer, he bangs his hand. It hurts. Then he leans back and he hits it again. Why do we say he's crazy? He did the same thing twice, thinking that it's going to not so happen something different. So we too have to think about that. As we keep going in this circle, this cycle, we have to do something different. And the thing that we have to do different is leave off our own opinions and start following the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave da'wah to his family. It was very practical. He didn't start fights with them. He was just himself. When it's time to go pray, you go pray. Even if they have pictures in the house. Because you taqillah mastata'atum. You feel as much as you can. You don't always have to stick a needle in the point. Let them enjoy being around you as who you are. Let them see the change in your life. As opposed to here, you giving the lip service. This is my da'wah. If there's any questions, I'll take them right now. Yes, sir. You have to speak loud. So what's the point? Thank you. Okay, so he's saying because people's the word Salafi has gotten bad media, we should not say that we're Salafi. That's what his question is, or it's the approach he's taking. I disagree. Just like the word Salafi has gotten bad media, the word Salafi can get good media. But you don't wear it on your shoulder. Give me this glass. You don't walk around talking about I'm Salafi. You know? Knock it off my shoulder. That's what it is? No. You be Salafi. Do you understand? You be Salafi through your actions. And then if they ask, one guy wrote me on the internet, he said, you're all right for a Salaf. You know what I'm saying? He says, you're all right. You know? Like that. Meaning that his impression of what the word Salafi is was one thing, but I'm not owning up to that impression that he has. So people have to start changing their impressions, right? Because we have to start acting better. There's another thing called blameworthy modesty. Blameworthy modesty is then when we see the person who's doing something wrong, he's open and proud to do his wrong thing. And he's open, and then we get shy to do the right thing. No, shame on him. Not shame on me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if they ask me, oh, are you Salafi? Or if it comes up, what type of Islam? Then I say, I'm Salafi. Really? If they turn off, ma'asalama. If they turn up or they have an attitude, I'm going to continue to be me. Because the reality of showing off in Islam is that you do something because you see people, or you don't do something because you see people. Do what you're going to do, knowing with ihsan that Allah sees you. Don't worry about nobody else. We go around the Kaaba and we have on our white, the thing that looks like a towel. And then the cloth, the terry cloth is the word I wanted to say. We have our izar and our ida. We going around, people for years saying, look at these fools in bathrobes running around the Kaaba. Are we going to stop doing that? Because they think it's foolish? No. We're going to keep doing it because we know it's the right thing. So, if we think being Salafi is the right thing, then be Salafi. If someone asks you if you're Salafi, say, yeah, I'm Salafi. What does it mean? Oh, it means to follow these particular people, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, and those after that, you know, the companions of the Messenger of Allah. You can explain it. We'll say, no, man, the Salafi means that you're a terrorist. No, I mean, if you think so, the only thing we're attacking is your heart, you know? Or say something, whatever you want to say. Well, I don't want to talk to you because you're Salafi. Well, alhamdulillah, you know, I don't want to talk to you because you don't want to talk to me. Or whatever you want to say. May Allah guide you. Whatever you want to do, be you. And remember that Allah sees you. And don't even look at them. Don't even consider them. Outside of the route of considering another human being, the consideration a human being should get. Does that make sense? Next question. Now? Oh. Yes, sir. Sorry? Sorry? Okay. Okay, so he says most people work between 9 to 5. Is that what you're saying? And so they can't take a break after dhuhr to take the nap. MashaAllah. Qadar Allahu masha'afal. So if your situation is like that, it still doesn't give you a reason to sleep after fajr. Does it? Right? Or you should maybe get a different job if you can. You know, if you can. You know? Or maybe we should start considering going someplace where you can take a nap after dhuhr. Another, maybe another country that we might facilitate that type of thing, if that is that serious for you. Otherwise, you know, going to bed early. I know people have dhuruf, they have situations. Like I said, it's the exception. If your situation calls for it, I'm not saying I never sleep after fajr. Sometimes I do, based on what happens. I might get into the country at a certain time and I have to sleep, you know? But we try not to make it our habit. The point is to draw attention to where we are falling short in the sunnah, okay? Not to the points that we think, because a lot of times we walk around with a little bit of pride, astaghfirullah, thinking that we are the epitome of the sunnah, when we're not. You know, we're far from the mark. You know, I mean, I would say that we were someplace, if we could say that 90% of the people here were hafiz Qur'an, or at least had half the Qur'an, or memorized one juz a year since how long they've been Muslim. Right? How many pages is it to make a juz? 20 pages to make a juz. It takes you a year to memorize 20 pages. It's 15 lines on every page. Okay? It takes you a year? Come on. It takes about 30 minutes to memorize 5 lines. or three lines. Some people can memorize a whole page in a half an hour. But we waste our time. So we have no business to be walking around with our nose stuck up in the air thinking that we are the sunnah and everybody else isn't. No. We are just as bad as everybody else with regards to tarka sunnah, leaving the sunnah and those things like that. And I just want to draw attention to the areas that we can move positively and proactively forward. Because like, been listening here, and most of the stuff is, how can I argue with this man? How can this, I'm trying to make this guy come to Islam. Ain't your job to come to make somebody come to Islam. You know? Nallaha yahdi man yasha. Your job is to give da'wah to your family. That's what your job is. And when you finish, then move to your neighbor. Okay, your neighbor. This is the way we go out. The circle, like that. Even if your neighbor is Muslim, you move out like that. And you keep going out till you go and you go and you go. Now, of course, your friends are going to be affected. Just like the friends of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his close friends. But to be arguing and stuff, and you know, the Brits, you're notorious for arguing and lip service. Everybody wants to say something slick to the next one, and then I'm going to leave this one, and we're going to split. All because you're doing something that Shaitan wants you to do. And not doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to do. You ain't going to split with your family. It's very hard. Especially when you had to come back and eat dinner. Right? Oh, I'm not talking to you. Make me some toast, please. You know? You're right there with each other. So you got to get over it. You know, you got to get over it. Any other question? Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry to interrupt.
Whoa.
Straight ahead.
Oh, okay.
If the brothers can ask their questions on this mic so that the sisters can hear as well.
Okay, okay. Go ask the question there, man. Fadl.
So if any brothers have any questions, please come to the mic point over here. Inshallah, feel free to ask.
And don't be lazy.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I want to ask...
Hold it up, man. No ums. Um is an ignorant sound. The Muslim is kayyisun, fatinun, mutaharrikun, laysa mutaqawqi'an, balidu dhihni, kaslan al-badani. We have to become men again. You know, we've lost a lot of that sharpness. You know, they used to say, al-muslimu kayyisu. The Muslim is kayyis. He's real sharp. You know, fatinun mutaharrikun. His intellect is alive and moving, real intelligent, like a fox. Laysa mutaqawqi'an. He's not like a snail. You know, snail dragon. Balidu dhihni. Dull-witted. Listen to the language. You guys know English. Dull-witted. Kaslanul badani. And lazy-bodied. There's no... We're losing al-muru'ah. The manhood. The chivalry. You see guys after salah? They sit down. They're all leaning forward. Butt sticking out. Leaning forward. No, this is not from the Rajula. It's not from the manhood of Islam. No, I'm serious, man. We gotta tighten it up. We gotta really. No wonder you guys only have one wife. You know, you gotta, you know, get it back. Tafaddal.
Giving.
No ums.
Giving da'wah to your family. For example, if you got someone in your family that they're trying to go through a like hard time, for example, if they've got a past of, for example, like drugs or something.
You have to raise it up.
As an example, when you're giving da'wah to your family, and if it is your brother or one of your relatives, they're going through a tough time, if it's the case of like drugs, and you might have gone through the same experiences, and you're trying to obviously give them advice, but at the same time, we find the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he said that you try to hide your sins. If you hide your sins, then Allah will shield your sins on the Day of Judgment. So how can we like go about giving da'wah to them on our experiences if we want to sort of...
Okay, you know what? Alhamdulillah, barakallah fikum, is a beautiful question. What happens a lot of times, guys like to, we call it dry snitch on themselves. Okay? Like the guy says, I remember when I was in prison. You know, he's trying to let you know that he was in prison. You know, and it's this type of thing like that. And it's like, you know, like a bragging type thing. You don't have to mention that you can give an example without mentioning that you were part of the example. You don't have to say, you know, I remember when I was on drugs and this, that, and everything, in order to say you can relate to a guy that's on drugs. You don't have to say, you know, I remember when I was making zina, I did it too. Because now the guy's going to say, see, you did it, you know. No, it's not the way we do it. The Prophet ﷺ was sadaqa rasul, and he told the truth. That everybody will be forgiven except the one who mujahirun, except for the people who broadcast their sins. Don't broadcast your sins. You know, don't broadcast it. Even though we have another narration that the Sahaba used to talk about what they used to do in Jahiliyyah. They used to talk about in Amum and generally how ignorant the thing was. They didn't say, oh, you remember when we got drunk over there at the pub back in last year? No, they don't say that type of stuff. But they say, remember how alcohol was so terrible? So you can talk to this guy and or whoever the persons are that have whatever problem they're going through and let them know that you relate and point to examples of how to do this and just to be supportive. As long as you're not enabling. There's a difference between supporting and enabling. An enabler is someone that keeps assisting the person to stay in their dysfunctional situation. Sometimes you might have to do some tough love. You know, sometimes you have to sit on the drug addict so he can't go and get his drugs. Or chain him to the radiator. Or no, serious. Sometimes you have to do that. Or even beat him up so he can't go out the house. If whatever you can get away, depending on your certain circumstances and situations. So, you know, you never have to broadcast your sins as far as you the one doing. But you can say, I remember those times when drugs were proliferant. You know, lots of people have this problem. In fact, I know of a circumstance when a person had this type of situation. You see, we went all around that. And he was, and this guy did like this. Well, what about me? Well, what about you? You know, reality is this. It's hard enough to keep yourself in Islam, right? The Prophet ﷺ said it's going to be a time where holding on to Islam is like holding on to what? Hot coal, okay? We have to look at that, you know, and do your level best. Do your level best with your family members. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
I can't hear you, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Just a quick question. Can you recommend us some books that we can focus or read on that you would recommend to be read in the family and to learn the way of the Salaf, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and generally be inspired by some specific books that you can recommend?
There's this one book, it's called the Quran. I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, I guess I am. Astaghfirullah. No, but I'm trying to, we focus. We always, where's your ear? We go right here. We can't buy our way into this thing. Everybody's constant. We're consumers. We're well-trained monkeys. You know? We're taught to buy, buy, buy. And that's going to be the solution. You don't got to buy nothing. Get that mushaf, the Quran, and get up and sit down with your family and read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read the Quran. It's the very first order. Read. And read it with your family every day, every opportunity. Sit down with them and read it to them and give the translation in every language that you need to. Go visit them, say, look, you know, I'm coming to visit you, mom. And you sit down and say, I just want to read you this short passage. Don't read no long 20 pages to you. You know, you may be able to take that, but maybe you read the small story. Or maybe you read half a page. Or maybe you just read three lines. But I thought this was really good today. I just want to read this to you. If you have control over your children, then have them read to you. Whenever I have my children with me, I'm not trying to brag, I'm just giving an example. I say, here, read this. They get nervous. Oh, this guy. But hey, read. And then maybe don't be so judgmental. Let them make their mistakes. Because sometimes you know what we do? We treat the stranger with the respect and gentleness that we should treat our children and our family members. So some strange guy comes over. Come here. And he goes, hey, what is this, man? You know, what is all this stuff like this? Why you got this beard? And why'd you bomb the Twin Towers anyway? You know, and how's Osama? You know, and you're like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, you buddy. But then your children say, oh, Abby, what are you doing? Don't you know that? You know, and we break on them. You know, we go crazy on them because they didn't do something. Well, it's the opposite. The Salaf were the gentlest to their children in private, and they were tougher with them in public. What does that do? There's some psychological balance there, because the child knows if I act out in public, I'm gonna get it. But at home, I got some leeway. So they learn to respect the street. You get it? They learn that when we go on the street, we gotta keep it tighter, because there's less room to play when we're out on the street. But at home, you can get away with that. Let's start implementing the sunnah, man. Let's start doing that. in our day-to-day. We don't need all these great big fatwa and all these big books. We just need these little things that if we start implementing them, it would make the major changes. We say attention to details. What are details? Small things. Did you know in military history, not one battle has ever been lost over a major issue? Do your own research. Most battles are changed over something real minute, some small detail. So we need to really pay attention to the details. I bet you, if you got up and spent 20 minutes a day reading Quran with your family, having them reading it, well, so they can understand it. So that means you read the Arabic, they read the English, or you read the Urdu, or they read the Punjabi, or whatever language that you have to read it to them in, or Somali, you know? If you do that with them for 20 minutes every day, going back, not them sitting down and they reading their portion, let them read their portion and then let them do it with you. And go through the Quran like that. Or just focus on the stories. Half the Quran are stories. Half. Give them the stories. Talk to them about it. That will change your life, their life. I give you the no money back guarantee. 30 days. Try that. And see how your relationship changes. Next. Fadl.
Just another question on behalf of...
Let me just stop you guys. Don't say I have a question. That's wasting time. Just say, Assalamu alaikum, if you want to say Assalamu alaikum, and just ask the question. This is the adab of asking a question. You go, when you go meet shuyukh, they're not going to have patience. Like, I have a question. No, of course you have a question. But it's not a big deal. Just come. One of the, I think it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud or Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he got older, radiyallahu anhumah, when the students used to come to him, he wouldn't allow them to say, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They used to be able to come and say, assalamu alaikum al-mas'ala. Assalamu alaikum and the issue. So he say, wa alaikum salam, and they get busy. Because time is of the essence. Time. We're trying to get what we can done in the quickest amount of time possible. Right? Tafaddal.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How do you give dawah to somebody who was arguably educated to scholarly level, however, has gone astray?
Alhamdulillah. What we can do is we can take advantage. We say that people think that people who, you know, are quote-unquote knowledgeable don't have the same problems as people that are quote-unquote not knowledgeable. But the shaitan is working harder on trying to make the person who is giving dawah or has some type of knowledge astray, because he wants to, you know, thwart all his effort. How many times have we seen in this era, we have this guy, we love him, and next thing you know, he topples, he makes a human error, and we knock him down, and we burn his books, and we say everything he said was lies. This is wrong from our part, but this is what the shaitan, he wants us to do. He wants us to do that. So we recognize that to err is human, you know? To err is human. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ma min abdin mu'minin." There's no believing slave. Illa wa ma'ahu dhanbun. Except that he has a sin. That he's going back and forth. Fainatin ba'da fain. You know, he's doing it time and time again. Or he has a sin that he doesn't. La yufariqu hatta yufariqu dunya. He doesn't leave that sin until he leaves the dunya. The fact of the matter is that the man was created, you know, sinful and forgetful. Either dhukira dhakar. If he's reminded, he remembers. So we remember the statement, the reminder benefits. What? Don't be scared, be men. The reminder benefits who? The believers. And it annoys the munafiqoon. And it annoys the hypocrite. So we need to gauge ourselves. Give the brother dawah if he's your family member. If he's not, keep giving him salams and make dua. We don't make dua for people anymore. Make dua for them. And make it continue to make dua. Allah hears the dua and he responds to them. So, tafaddal.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The brother earlier mentioned...
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See, he forced me to go more.
Inshallah. The brother earlier said about the word salaf has got a lot of negative understanding with some brothers with it. And if you come and give da'wah and use the word salaf, you said, okay, if they didn't like it, they didn't like it. What I would like to know from Brother Abu Tawba, that what's your comment on using the hikmah, and also the hadith of in Sahih al-Bukhari says, make Islam easy to people, not difficult. So what's your comment, please?
My comment on that is that you're not making it difficult for them. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, like I said, you don't walk around putting the Salafi on your chest, bumping into everybody, saying, I'm Salafi, you know? Be Salafi, I said. But, and if the question comes up, what are you upon? Why should you hide? Why should you, you know, try to, you know, squiggle and worm? What's to be ashamed of? If you say, why don't we use that same argument? They don't like the word Muslim. So we're not going to say we're Muslim no more? We're going to say we're ones who follow and submit to Allah? You know, we can go into the English like the brother suggested, barakallahu fihim. You know? No. When is it going to end? No, we take a stance. This is why stance. You know, I'm going to be Salafi. And if they don't like the word Salafi, alhamdulillah, they're going to like me because I'm a nice guy. Inshallah. And I'm going to be a nice guy with my family. Like this. Remember, I'm focusing on our family. Anybody else, they can go to hell. Literally. It's not my job. You understand? I'm focused on my family. Some other guy, he wants me to argue with me. We see some of the Salaf. Somebody said, hey, can I debate with you? I just want to have a word. I want to have two words with you. One of the Salaf said, no, you can't even have one. And he ran. Got away from that guy. Somebody caught him and said, what are you running from? He said, I'm running from a jackass. You know, then once somebody came to somebody and said, look, I want to debate with you about these issues. He said, look, I'm clear about what I believe. If you have some doubt, go study. No, I got nothing to argue with you about. What are we doing? I want to get some proof to prove to him. There's a hadith that says, "Fanaru nar." Then the fire, whoever studies knowledge to argue with the juhala, right? To argue with the ignorant, or to arrest the people's faces to them. Like right now, let's say I study just so I can get people to look at me. They say, oh, there goes Abu Tawba. You know? Or to start challenging the shuyukh. That sheikh was wrong. His fatwa was da, 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 just to do that type of thing. Then fanarunnar. Then the fire. Outside of that, because that's not what he said, I don't see it that you have to change who you are in order to give da'wah. What you have to change is their perception of what that means. And that will change by you just following the sunnah. You don't have to try to force them to change. All you have to do is follow the sunnah. When you follow the sunnah and give them their rights, that will make the effect if Allah wants it to. If. Because you don't guide who you want. It's only Allah that guides who he wants. Look at Abi Talib. He knew the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never going to lie on a human, let alone Allah. He raised him. He knew his whole background, defended him, and yet and still, Allah did not give him the tawfiq that he gave you. Right? He had the best one giving him da'wah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was related to the Messenger of Allah. None of us can really claim that. None of us have been taught by the Messenger of Allah, Dhabtu Rajul, by Allah's Messenger himself. We have this isnad. Yet Allah gave us tawfiq and he didn't give that man tawfiq. So one thing we know for sure. Man yuridillahu bihi khayran, yufaqihhu fi din. Whoever Allah wants good for him, he gives him profound understanding of the deen. Because fiqh, it doesn't just mean understanding. It means understanding what was intended. And so if you have come to the sunnah, then know that Allah wants good for you. He wants khair. And khair has been defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. He says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. He said, there is no khair. No good whatsoever. With the fatah, no good whatsoever. In most of your private conversation. Najwakum. You know what I'm saying? Most of the private conversations, there's no khair whatsoever. There's only khair when the one is talking about amara bis sadaqah. He's ordering people to give some sadaqah. All the different forms of sadaqah. A smile is sadaqah. You know? asma, aw ma'roof. And what is ma'roof? Ma'roof is called what is easily recognizable as good. I'm giving you a definition. Ma'roof is that which is easily recognizable as good. And that means the Sharia. The Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The legislation of Islam. The fiqh of Islam. Because we ya'maru bil. Ya'maru bil. So we order what is ma'roof. Well, we order what the orders of Allah are. The commands and the fiqh and the sunnah. But if we don't know those things, then we can't say nothing. Awislahim bayna nas, or rectifying the situations between the people, which again takes many, many forms. Otherwise, there is no khair whatsoever in your private conversation. So, man yu'min billahi wal yawm al-akhir, so whoever believes in Allah on the last day, falyaqul al-khayra aw liyasmut. Let him say what is khair. You see the word again. Let him say what is khair. What is good, as we define those three things by Allah, or let him shut his mouth. Because usmut does not say be quiet. It means shut up. If you say to an Arab, uskut, it means be quiet. You say to him, usmut, he might hit you. Say, usmut. Usmut anta. Yeah, it might start a fight. Let me get akhul libi. Tell him, usmut, nesajay. Not a good word here. So, that's what my da'wah to us. We run our mouths too much in the wrong way and to the wrong people. And this is the major trick of shaitan on the talib al-ilm and the salihin to get him doing the fardu kifaya, so he leaves off what? Fardu ayn. And it's fardu ayn upon us. Qu-man. Save who? And after that, let's work. We got a lot of work to do. But let's do that work. That's going to make the change in our everyday today and in the society. Because the society is built up on small families. Right? The family structure. And those are the hardest changes to make. Those small little things. And I wanted to make a correction. Yesterday, a young boy asked me about wearing red. Right? I understood his question is if you can wear red, have red on you. But if the question was, can you wear all red, complete red, and nothing else but red, then in the Sharia, this is haram. Okay? But to wear the color red, which was how I understood the question, like this guy, stand up, young man. Yes. You see the young man is wearing red right there? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay. He has red, he has white, he has some other colors there, some gray. That's totally lawful. But to wear red from head to foot, this is not allowed. Do you understand? So, based on how you ask the question is the way you get the answer. And I didn't want to cause any confusion about that. He's saying, a single top. Like the brother back there. Stand up, brother in the back with the red shirt. Come forward, please. Fadl, hurry up, so brothers can see you. Handsome brother right here. Stop flexing your muscles, man. He's wearing a red top there. But is he wearing completely red? Okay then. Then he can wear that. Wallahu alam. But some people might say that's makruh. Some people might say that's makruh. Okay? Based on it being a solid red. But others would say no, because he's not only wearing red. So, you know, you have that type of conversation in there. But see, the place for these type of questions shouldn't be like here. Because they need some tafsir, they need some definition. What it points to again is the necessity of us, that we need to sit down and learn some basic fiqh from a basic fiqh book so that we can have a basic foundation, you know? And for those people who come from Desi backgrounds, then read the book Mukhtasar al-Quduri. It's in English. It's an excellent book to read from the Salaf. Mukhtasar Quduri. I think Taha Publications or something like that. I saw it in that street in London that all the Asians live on that street. What is that street called? Green Street? Yeah. Oh, is that saying that because it's a green lane? It's Green Street. Yeah. There's a place there that sells books on a corner. I don't know the name of it. Okay, they're telling me I have to go. All right. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم. Wallahi, I ahibbukum fillah. Hopefully anything I said, I don't mean to offend anybody personally, you know? I love you brothers, inshallah ta'ala. I'll see you later. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم